Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back. Wow. Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I'm a little verklempt. Talk amongst yourselves. I'm going to be talking with Harvey K. Apparently, I better clear my throat before I come back on the air. But I want to offer an opinion piece from the Washington Post before Harvey joins me. This piece, Megan McArdle. The left is counting on an abortion backlash that may never come. Let me read from this piece. Democrats have long assumed that if Republicans ever managed to overturn Roe v. Wade, they would come to regret it. This was not an unwarranted assumption. Poll after poll shows that strong majorities of Americans think abortion should be legal in at least some circumstances and want Roe v. Wade to be left intact. Here's a quote. By removing the issue from the policy arena, wrote legal analyst Benjamin Wittes in 2005, the Supreme Court has prevented abortion rights supporters from winning a debate in which the public opinion favors them. The dominant metaphor casts Republicans in this scenario as the dog that caught the car, at last in possession of the object of their desire, with nothing but grief to come of it. Yeah, I'm hopeful. That's what I've been saying. How could this not wake up the sleeping giant? How could women not be outraged? And of course, the men, those of us that love them. Yet here we are, back to this article, McArdle, the opinion piece from the Post. Yet here we are, and things don't actually look so bad for Republicans. A draft Supreme Court opinion overturning Roe leaked last week. But a poll taken by CNN after the news broke showed the GOP running 7 points ahead of Democrats on the generic ballot. That's going to hurt folks, which measures which party voters want to control Congress. And perhaps voters simply aren't paying attention or haven't had time to grapple with the implications. Well, perhaps. But what about Texas? You recall, last year, Texas effectively outlawed abortion after 6 weeks of pregnancy. Now, Governor Greg Abbott, who signed the restrictive bill into law, is running well ahead of Democratic challenger Beto O'Rourke. It's hard to argue that Texas voters are unaware. The law has been hotly debated and has seriously impacted abortion access. But so far, it just doesn't seem to be moving many votes. At first blush, this seems positively astonishing, given how central abortion has been to U.S. party politics. Yet it is actually pretty easy to explain in terms of three factors. Here they are, folks. Take notes. 1, 2, 3. 1, polarization. 2, power. And 3, place. Let me explain. Polarization on this issue is obvious. An ardent core of activists on both sides, many good people on both sides, has divided the parties cleanly on abortion and turned it into a litmus test for politicians. Republicans propose bans with minimal exceptions, while Democrats, even in red and purple states, struggle to name a single restriction that they would support. Hence the trash talking from Mitch McConnell and guys like CJ. I read on. Because of this, the activists can't affect elections much. They're already voting exclusively and regularly for one party or the other. The best the parties can try to do is turn out a few more of their activists than the other side manages. The big hope has always been to move the less polarized middle, but it's starting to look like this issue just doesn't have that power. Now, that brings us to number two, right? Power is another name for what political scientists call voter intensity, which explains why many issues that poll well, such as stricter handgun controls, never seem to go anywhere. While a lot of people care a little about gun control, in most cases, it's not their number one issue or even their number 10. Gun owners, by contrast, often become highly focused, single-issue voters. Politicians, understandably, are more responsive to those who actually vote, you know, on that single issue, right? That's not the case with abortion, where there's a lot of intensity on both sides. But if anything, there is more on the pro-life side. So intensity doesn't help Democrats here either. In the middle just doesn't seem to be getting any more intense, even with Roe in the balance. Possibly because they understand the effect of place. That's number three, place. For the vast number of them, while they may hate what other states are doing, their local abortion law will probably be something they can accept. You know, so if it's not in my backyard, it doesn't matter. Let me bring this one a little closer to conclusion. If Roe falls, abortion will most likely be thrown back to the states. And since the politics of the filibuster make a national ban unlikely, in Kentucky, where 57% of voters want abortion to be illegal in all or most cases, that probably means a pretty strict ban. In Massachusetts, where 74% think it should be legal all or most of the time, abortion access will likely be unfettered. Moreover, the states that are strongly pro-life also tend to be the states where abortion is already relatively uncommon. So a ban in a pro-life Kentucky will prove much less disruptive than it would in a pro-choice New York, where almost five times as many abortions are performed per 1,000 reproductive age women. See if I can get it all in here. That doesn't mean there won't be controversy. In states where the electorate is close to evenly split, asymmetric intensity could produce extreme laws that breed a backlash even from lukewarm voters. For that matter, even in deep red states, there are undoubtedly limits to how many restrictions the electorate will support. And Republicans seem intent on testing them. But it does explain why the current reaction is so much more muted than it seems like it ought to be. As long as Roe holds on, abortion will remain at the center of electoral politics. But should Roe fall, polarization, power in place may push it just as forcefully to the side of the stage. Or you folks could wake up and do something about it. I'm just saying. Dr. Harvey K., there'll be less reading aloud going forward. My fine guest, Professor Emeritus, UW Green Bay, Harvey K., and Crudy next.
The test is over.
I want you to be nice until it's time to not be nice.
I got news for you, pal. They're gonna nail us no matter what we do.
Roadhouse.